is this morning. You have been a privilege to preach to. You have. You soak up the word, you're faithful to hear, and it has been a great joy to be here. Great joy to be here. Mark chapter number 2. We just begin reading verse 1 and we'll go down through verse number 12. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and there was noise abroad. It was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And can I stop for just a moment and try to, as we read this narrative, I want you to put yourself there. Put yourself in the home that day, taking witness to what is taking place. And just for a minute, can we stop and say, bless the Lord, and hallelujah, just to imagine what it would be in a crowded building where the Lord Christ is, and to think how great it would be if this building was packed just like that house was that day, where they had the door swung open and still they couldn't get everybody crammed in. My goodness, may God grant revival in the city of Glenville, in our hearts, in our lives, in the city of Perry, where I pastor, that God may so impress and work that you can open the doors and open the windows. You all remember those days when you'd have to open the doors and windows and people would stand outside to hear the preaching of the gospel? That's what takes place here in this account where the Lord is. Mark 2 and at verse 2, and he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. If I could ask you for a moment this morning to travel down the corridors of your mind, enter down into your own personal history, I would ask you to stop and think for a briefest of moments to try and remember what were the sweetest words that you have ever heard. I remember, and at least to some degree, I remember the wonderful sweetness of hearing the words Daddy for the first time. Do you remember way back when you were young and in love and you heard that person that you were just so crazy about, that when you heard them say to you for the first time, I love you? Do you remember how that made you feel, and that feeling that would creep up within you? Just how glorious that was. These and many others, perhaps hearing the word grandma or grandpa for the first time would indeed be sweet words. But I would like to submit to you this morning that the sweetest words that ever heard are the words that are found at the close of verse 5, thy sins be forgiven thee. These are the sweetest words you could ever hear. Have you heard those words? Have you heard the words from the tender cry, speak unto you and say unto you, thy sins be forgiven thee? These are indeed the sweetest words that are ever heard. This morning, that is the thought that I have. The sweetest words ever heard. Here, our Lord speaking to a man who was sick of the palsy, a man who was a paralytic, who was unable to walk, looks to him and says to him the sweetest words that any mortal could ever hope to hear. Five little words that change everything. Five words that mean the difference between eternal bliss and eternal misery. Five words that have turned this world upside down. Five words that meant that this man would leave that house that day altogether different. Thy sins be forgiven thee. How sweet these words are indeed. And it may seem to you that these are but trifle words, meaningless words. And if that is true, that's only because you don't know the power of these words. If you know what these words mean and the glorious truth that lies behind these words, I promise you they'll be the sweetest words you'll ever hear. My dear friends, you'll never hear anything better in this life than to hear thy sins be forgiven thee. Would anyone dare argue? Anyone who has been saved and is trusting Christ right now, would anyone dare argue with me that these are the sweetest words that can fall upon mortal ears? These words are said by our Christ in different ways, in different situations throughout His ministry. He looked at a woman one time who was near death and who was struggling, a woman who was in sin. And the Lord Christ, although men were ready to condemn her, the Lord Christ looked at her and said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And those were sweet words to that lady that day, I promise you. The Lord looked to His disciples and said to them, ye are my friends. These words are spoken in many different ways throughout the gospel accounts. And we choose out this one in particular this morning to point our mind and our heart upon it. Thy sins. Whose sins? Thy sins be forgiven thee. The natural ears, my natural ears, your natural ears, those of you who are here and saved, your natural ears may not have ever heard these words fall from the Savior's lips like this man did. But through the ear of faith, I have heard my Christ speak these words to me. Lewis, friend, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm going to tell you, that's sweet. That's enough to make a Methodist shout. Amen. That's good. That's good. Thy sins be forgiven thee. We live in a world full of people who are just like this man. Who are just like this man. And sadly, so many of them don't even realize the condition that they're in. We live in a world of people who are crippled by sin. Who've been paralyzed by the depravity of the old will. Men who have no ability and no desire within themselves to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is able to speak these sweet words to sinners. We live in a world of people who have been taken captive by their own fleshly desires, who do not realize their own sinful nature, who are filled with pride, who are filled with self-doubt, who are filled with struggles and addictions. We live in a world where there are men and women around us, countless men and women around us, who are just like this man was, totally unable to save himself. Yet there are so many of them that have the false idea that one of these days they'll just work it out. I wish that people could come face to face with the idea that you're not going to just work it out. This man, do you have any doubt that this man had done everything that he could to be healed or alleviated of his vast problems?
Imagine that woman with the issue of blood who had spent all of her living, who had done everything that she could do to try and be healed from her infirmity. But it was never until she touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Christ that she was healed. May each one come face to face with the fact that if you're ever going to hear the words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," you'll have to hear it from the Lord Christ and no other. You can't work it out on your own. You can't save yourself. You're not going to bring yourself up by your bootstraps into the throne room of heaven. Only God can save. That man, no doubt, had done what he could. But he was hindered by his own weakness. He was hindered by his paralysis. And men and women around us today, they do what they can. So many of them think, well, if I do this and I do this, I'll earn my entrance into heaven. If I give this, if I donate this, if my good works outweigh my bad works, if I do this, and you just fill in the blank, whatever it is, they have the idea that if they just do good enough, that it's going to gain them interest into God's heaven. But I promise you, it will not. The only thing that can save is having a true, life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that can save you. That's all that'll save you. To hear Him say to you, not with the natural ear, but with the ear of faith, that He'll give you, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." What are you trusting in this morning? Are you trusting in what you've done? My dear friends, the arm of flesh will fail you. Are you trusting in what you hope will happen one day? Or is all your hope, all your confidence, all of your everything, your being, your assurance, is everything put in the Lord Jesus Christ? He alone is able to save. He alone is able to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." I want you to go with this in this narrative this morning. And for a moment, I want to think about those four people. If you read this narrative, it tells us that this man who was sick of the palsy was born of four. This account, we find it both in Matthew, Mark, and in the Gospel of Luke. Each of these tell us something a little bit different, or a little bit unique about this occurrence, about this miracle. And by the way, I believe this really happened. I believe this was a miracle. I really believe that this man was eat up with palsy. I don't have any problem believing that when God said that an axe head did swim, I believe it did the backstroke across the river. I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. And when they tell me that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, I believe it. When the Bible tells me that God, through the person of Christ, raised men and women from the dead, I believe it. When He healed the man with the withered hand, I believe it. When He healed blind Bartimaeus, I believe it. When He tells me that this man, who was a paralytic, who had the palsy, whenever he was brought before the Lord Christ, and God spoke to him and said, "Take up your bed and walk," I believe He did it. I don't have any problem believing the Word of God. You put your confidence in something else if you want to, but I'm gonna put my confidence in the infallible, inspired Word of God. Everybody's got your hope in something. You got your faith in something. I, by God's good grace, I put my confidence in the Lord and in His Word and what it tells me of Him. But this morning, let's for just a minute, let's think about those four. Those four. In the gospel accounts, it talks about this man that he was laid, what the gospel, I believe it is Luke, that says he was laid on a couch. And of course, when we talk about a couch today, your couch at home comes to mind. But probably more accurately, what this man was laid on was something more what we would call something similar to a mattress. Probably a thin mattress, and that's what he was laid on. I want you to think about these four people. I want you to think about them and the compassion that they must have had to go to the trouble of going to this man. And each of them, can you not see them grabbing a corner? Each of them going and grabbing a corner of that couch, mattress, whatever that it was, as this bed, as the Lord would call it. Can you not see each of them going and grabbing a corner and taking him down the streets of Jerusalem? Or I believe he's in Capernaum. Hear me get my story straight. In Capernaum here in this case. I'm allowed one goof up. That's the first one I've made all week. Yeah, right. Anyway. Can you see them walking down the streets of Capernaum with this man?
You believe they loved that man. I believe they loved the man. I believe they cared about the man. I believe they had compassion for the man. I believe they had hope and assurance that if they can get him where Jesus is, they just ain't no telling what might happen. They took the time and the effort to get there and to try to present him before the Lord Christ, but they ran into an obstacle along the way. When they get there to the house, they got a packed house. When they get there to try to bring this man in through the door, well, they can't get him in through the door because there's so many people crammed in the house. And if these four, if they had been good Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptists, that's when they'd have threw up their hands and quit. They said, well, we've done our best. And just leave him laying. I got to push you a little bit. I told you I was going to push you a little bit this week. They've been just Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptists. They threw up their hands and said, well, we tried.
Bless God.
I want you to think about something. Not only did they love him enough to pick him up and to bear him or to carry him, they, when they got to the house and they saw they couldn't get in, they didn't give up. Now, this is a little bit unfamiliar to us because we live in these houses that have these big, beautiful roofs and tin and shingles and all of these things that are on our roofs. But during that time and in that area and during that age, many of the people would just have a thatch roof. A roof that had limbs and sticks and mud, and it would just sort of be mortared together and kept together just best they could. That's what they could do. That's what they had. And these four go out onto the roof and understand most of the people there, they had these flat top roofs. They went to the trouble of taking this man and tearing that roof apart and letting him down. And in my mind, I see people looking up saying, what in the world is going on in here? There's somebody tearing the roof up in this joint. And they go to the trouble of letting him down. I almost see them taking a little piece of rope or cord and tying it to the edge of that mattress, and they're letting him down. And I see people spreading out and cramming away, already a full house, but they're packing up and cramming even tighter so that this man can be let down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe they had this confidence. We don't know what God will do. We don't know what Jesus will do, but we know what He can do. And that should be your confidence when you bring people, point people, guide people to the Lord. I don't know what God will do, but I know what God can do. I do not know exactly what may happen, but I know what can happen because I've seen it happen before. I'm of the mindset that these four were saved people. And I've got some pretty good Bible for that because what I like is, look at verse 5. Look with me. When Jesus saw their faith, when He saw whose faith? Was it the faith of that man who was sick of the palsy? No, dear friends. Most of the time, when the Lord would heal someone, He would say things like, as your faith is, be it unto thee. And He saw your faith and He would grant them the request. But in this case, a little bit unique, a little bit different, when Jesus saw their faith, when He saw the faith of that four, He looked to that man who was sick of the palsy and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And I want to draw a parallel with that this morning. I want to put you on the corner. If you're saved, I want to put you on the corner of that mattress this morning and say, you've got a responsibility. Now, we've talked through this week, and I hope you know me well enough to know that I'm not third cousin to an Armenian. I believe in the absolute sovereignty of our God. And I mean, if God's not sovereign, He's not God. That's just all there is to it. But I also believe that each of us have a responsibility to try to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to guide them. You remember Philip? God had sent him out there to the desert to that Ethiopian eunuch, and that Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there reading the Word of God.
And he just couldn't put it all together. He was trying, but he couldn't put it all together. And the Spirit spake unto Philip. And do you know what the book of Acts says in chapter number 8? God help, I don't know what many of us Baptists do with this, but it says that Philip ran, not slumbered, not drug his feet, but Philip ran to the chariot and said, what are you reading? Let's see if I can help you with that. Philip asked him, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And that man said, how can I except some man should guide me? And I believe we need to be in the guiding business. Guiding people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He that winneth souls is wise. We should be in the soul winning business. We should be in the business in living in such a way that it would demonstrate to others that there is a man named Jesus, and he indeed can do great and mighty things. We need to live in such a way that the light of His glory shines brightly within us, that others may see Him in us. And I believe we've been called, each one, to bear a burden, to share a responsibility, to grab a corner and go. To grab a corner and go. And you know what you're going to have to do, though, don't you? You can't sit there and wait for the paralyzed man to come climbing or dragging his way into the church house. You need to go. I don't know if sometimes if we as God's... Here we go. I don't know if sometimes as we as Landmark Baptists have not forgotten that God gave us a commission to go ye therefore into all nations to teach and to proclaim the gospel of Christ and to make disciples. And as God saves, we baptize. And then we teach. Listen, there's nothing wrong with and everything right with inviting people to church. Invite people to church. Encourage people to come to church. Don't nag, don't badger, don't beat up. But lovingly and gently ask. If you care about someone, ask. Let me just put an interjection here and I hope I don't lose my place. I was talking to a man a few years ago and he said, I've been badgering them for 30 years to come to church and it ain't worked yet. Anybody know Einstein's definition of insanity? You know, you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. That's insanity. And so I said to him, well, why don't you try loving and praying for a change and quit the nagging and badgering? There's a right way to handle it. The point I'm trying to get at is good. It's good to invite people to come to church, but listen, we need to go where sinners are. I'm about to get convicted under my own preaching this morning. We need to go where sinners are. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came and He was a friend of sinners. He went to where they were. And that's what these four did. They went to where this man was because they knew he was not going to get himself to the Lord. They went to where he was and said, what can I do to help you? And each of them, and can I say it like this? It helps when there's more than one of you. It's good to go with somebody else and to help share the burden. Each of them grabbed a corner and went and brought this man to the Lord Christ because they had the confidence that maybe, oh, just maybe, the Lord might work a mighty miracle in this man's life. And I'm going to tell you, invite people to church. Encourage them to come to the Lord's house, but don't just leave it there. Don't just give up because there's an obstacle there. And in them having to tear down that roof, I see that there are a lot of times there are obstacles that have to be torn down. Some obstacles of anger, some bitterness, some obstacles of unforgiveness. There's some things that need to be torn down in our lives that we may point men or guide men towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we can go on thinking about these four, I want to turn your mind now in this narrative. And I don't want you to be standing on the corner. I want you to be lying in the bed. Have you ever seen yourself as that man that was lying in the bed? Have you ever seen yourself as that man who was gripped and paralyzed, unable to do anything on his own?
And I'm going to tell you something.
If you'll see yourself as that man, I know out there, there's somebody who can do something. But I don't know where he is, and I don't know how to get there. And if you'll see yourself as that man lying in that bed, crippled, you'll shout hallelujah and amen that somebody came by and took the time to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will put yourself in His place, and my friends, if this is offensive to you, I'm sorry, but you need to know this. Each of us are exactly like this man was, paralyzed by sin, crippled by our own depravity, no hope in and of ourselves of ever redeeming, saving, or healing ourselves. Each of us are exactly like that man was. And somebody, somewhere, cared enough about you to come down to you and say, let me do what I can to try to bring you. Now, we can't save people. I know we can't save people, but we can point them to the one that can. We can tell them about the Jesus that can save sinners. Have you put yourself there in that bed? Have you put yourself there? Can you allow me this morning? Can I dig in your imagination this morning? As you're laying there in that bed and you're looking up and around you there's a few people that are carrying you down through the streets of Capernaum. Can you see them as you're lying there and you look around and there they are tearing that roof down? And then you're looking up, you're lying there in that bed and you're looking up as they're slowly letting you down into that house. And then you look over to the most beautiful eyes that you'll ever see. And it is the sweet Savior of men, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ looks up and He sees those. And I'm sorry if I go a little bit too far, but I'm absolutely sure those four that brought that man there that day, I'm absolutely sure they hung around to see what happened. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me? They didn't just drop him off and leave. I guarantee you, I can see them sitting up there on the roof with their little legs dingling over the ledge, just looking down to see what's going to happen. And he looks over and he sees the eyes of the Christ, and the Lord looks up and He sees their faith. And the Lord turns and He looks at me. And He says, thy sins be forgiven thee. My goodness, what a God we serve. When He saw their faith, He spoke to that man and said, thy sins be. And that's some sweet words. That's sweet words. The sweetest words you'll ever hear. This man, not only did he have his sins forgiven, but bless God, he was healed. He was healed. I'm pretty well convinced in the ministry of the life of Christ, when He healed someone physically, He healed them spiritually. I'm going to tell you something. God can not only take care of your soul, He can take care of your body too. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. I was preaching through it. It's my last sermon, so y'all just hang on. You don't have another one this afternoon, so you might as well go on and get a double portion while you're here. I was preaching, we've been going through the life of Moses on Sunday nights. We got over there where old Joseph told him, said, don't leave my bones behind. Let me tell you something, when they took her Exodus out of there, they took the bones of Joseph with them. And one of these days, I'm going to take my Exodus out of here, and then God's going to take my bones with Him. He ain't going to leave them behind. He's going to take them with Him in the promised land. I guarantee you, I'm headed out of here. My dear friends, listen to me. These people cared enough. They were moved with compassion to bring Him there. And this man, now, can we bring a little sovereign grace in this? What did that man do to save himself? What did he do? You're absolutely right. Not a thing. Christ healed him. And that's all that ever will heal a sinner. Christ and His power and His word alone. It is the power of the gospel that has the power to save. What a glorious story this is. And you think, well, he's getting done. No, I'm just getting started. So just hang on. Y'all wanted to sing half a morning. I'm going to preach the other half. So just hang on. Someone may ask, what makes these words so sweet? Well, let me tell you this. I tell you one of the things that makes them so sweet is who said them. You know one of the things that makes these words so sweet? Who said them? I love Brother Tom, and I just tell you, I believe y'all got a good pastor. I believe you got the right man. And your dear wife, that don't hurt any either. I promise you that. But Brother Tom could look at me and say, Louis, thy sins be forgiven thee. And brother, as much as I love you, that don't mean a doggone thing to me. I mean, it just wouldn't mean a thing. Let me tell you something. In case you're here and you don't know this, there's no man on earth that has the authority to look at you and say, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's no cardinal, no bishop, no priest, not even the supposed vicar himself. And by that I mean the Pope, if you don't know who I'm talking about. No man on earth has the power to look at you and to say to you, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there is one who is now at the right hand of the Majesty on high, who has the authority and the power to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Nobody else does, but he does. That's one of the things that makes these words so sweet. Who said them? God said them. You look at the narrative right here in verse 5, when Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes were sitting around in their old haughtiness, and they said, why doth, verse 7, this man speak blasphemy? And they asked a glorious question at the close of verse 7. Who can forgive sins but God only? That's a good question. Who can forgive sins but God only? And the answer to that is that only God can forgive sins. But little did they know that God set foot in the house that day. Little did they know that God was in the house that day. And he had the authority to look at that man and to say to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. You wouldn't have done any good for somebody else in the audience to look over there to that man and say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Wouldn't done any good. Wouldn't do you any good for me to look at you and say, thy sins be forgiven thee. But I promise you, if the Lord will speak those words to you, it'll mean something to you. Thy sins be forgiven thee. They said, well, wait a minute. Who's this man think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Yeah. That's right. Only God can forgive sins. God was in the midst. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of man, but he was also the God-man. And he can. And still can. I want to say it to you like this. In the person of the Holy Spirit, there's someone today in this house, just like there was on that day. There's someone in the house today that can tell you, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's not me. It's not any other preacher, teacher. It's not anybody. Only God. And I believe he's here today. If he wasn't, I didn't want to be here. I can tell you that. I believe he's here today. And he has the authority to tell you, thy sins be forgiven thee. Have you heard those words? Have you heard those words from him? He would look at them, and if we follow this, good gracious lives. All right. He would look at these people, and I want to preach. Y'all sing so pretty. Let's just notice this. Verse 8, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within him. Now notice with me now, just think about this. Jesus knew their thoughts. God knows what goes on in the corridors of your mind, in your heart. He knows what's in there. You may hide it from others, but I promise you, the Lord knows your heart. And He knows what's going on in your mind. You may not throw it out before men, you may not flaunt it before others, but God knows what's going on. In fact, one of the accounts said, in Jesus knowing their thoughts. Boy, isn't that a humbling? Isn't that a humbling thought? That God knows the... I promise you, I don't want my thoughts put up on a billboard and everybody to look. The Lord knows your thoughts. And he said to them, just so you all know, he said, let me ask you something. You think it would be more difficult to say to this man, he's paralyzed. I mean, everybody knew it. You think it would be more difficult to say to him, get up and walk out of here, or to say to him, thy sins be forgiven thee? Which one do you think would be more difficult? And the answer to that is, with men, it is impossible.
It would be equally impossible with men. But with God, all things are possible.
And you realize it was no harder for him to say to that man who was sick of the palsy, it was no harder for him to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Take up your bed and walk." The sovereign God of the universe, the Lord Christ himself, it wasn't any more difficult for him to say either one of those to that man. It's no harder for him to say to blind Bartimaeus, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or "Go and wash and be thou clean." To heal the man with the withered hand and to heal his soul, with God, neither one is more difficult. He has a power to take care and heal and clean us. I'll move on and I'll get done here in the next hour or so. I'm just kidding for those of you visiting. All right. Not only who said them, but who he said them to. Who he said them to. That's what makes those words so sweet. House full of people. A house full of people. But he said them to that one man. And that's what made them sweet. And look around you, we've got a semi-house full of people today. And God may speak those words, "May God please," if it would please our sovereign God, if it would please him that he may speak those words to someone today. The only thing that'll matter is that he spoke those words to you. It didn't do that man any other good. Wouldn't have done him any good if Christ would have spoke those words to somebody else. But he spoke those words directly to him. Has he spoken those words to you? Who he said them to? And then what these words mean? You know what makes these words so sweet? What they mean? I got in my notes right here, "Shout praise God" right here. What these words mean? "Thy sins be forgiven thee." What these words mean are unlike anything else on earth. "I love you." Dad, mom, grandma, grandpa, those are sweet things to hear, but there's nothing like hearing, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Will you go with me now as we picture this man being led in through the roof, Christ speaking to him, and that man standing up? Hold on. What do these words mean? They mean, "I'm not leaving here the way I came in." That's what those words mean. That means they had to let me in through the roof, but I'm leaping out the door. I came in paralyzed and I'm walking out of here under the power of the God by His healing touch. I'm leaving here a new man, a different man. And I'm going to tell you something today. You can leave here different than you came in. You can leave here as a new creature in Christ Jesus. You might have come in paralyzed and crippled by sin, struggling with addiction, battling with something going on within your heart, but you can leave here a new person. I guarantee when the Lord Jesus Christ said to that man, "Pick up your bed," I see that old dude taking that thing, throwing it over his shoulder and skipping down the street. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. God makes change in you. You make change in you. These words, what do they mean? It means I'm not paralyzed anymore. I'm free. I'm not crippled anymore. I'm free. And then when this happens, it brings glory to our Christ, fills the saints' hearts with joy, and it shuts the mouths of sinners. Can I give you some? I spent 4 years in Tennessee pastoring. Can I give you a little Tennessee language this morning? When this happened, when that man stood up and walked out of there, close of verse 12, we never saw it on this fashion. In Tennessee language, a man would say, "We ain't never seen nothing like this. We ain't never seen nothing like this." That man come in here crippled, paralyzed, sick of the palsy. Now he's up and walking out of here. I'm going to tell you something. May God do that among us today. And when it happens, Christ will receive the glory, the saints will be edified, and it'll shut the mouths of sinners. My dear friends, just think with me. Just think with me what it would be if you left here today completely different than you came in.
sweetest words you ever heard. Thy sins be forgiven thee.
You come, brother.